Interesting, interesting time. Hey, just for an interesting part of this, this is something I want to discuss. Something that we're doing in our, with our youth right now, it's kind of called a How's God Using You campaign. And in this campaign, basically what I'm basically doing is sharing in our mind, sending out every day for the past, 3 weeks or so, I believe. The youth can tell you this. But right now, every day I send out this same question: How is God using you today? And what a reason why I'm doing that is not for the fact of just seeing how God's using them, that's one. But two is also to change the mindset, change the hearts. Change that mindset to start seeking God rather than searching for him, or much less not doing anything. So let me ask this. In your everyday life, everything that goes on, how many of y'all actually seek God in everything that you do throughout your life? Can anybody raise their hand and say they do this in everything? If you did, you're lying. But so the purpose of that is to start simple, and we start working on that. It's trying to change the mindset of how we see God, how we use God, or much less, how God uses us. Because that's the thing, he uses us. We're his tool, we're his plan for this world. So let's take a look here. As we go through here, and we start discussing this a little bit before I jump into the gospel here, one of the things that we do with this is I actually, every Wednesday, the first, how I start out every Wednesday with the youth is I ask them, how has God used you this week? And the cool part is getting to hear some of the stories, and now, guess what, they're looking for God and how God, the doors that he's opening for them, and seeing what's happened. So here's what I did. This past Wednesday, I asked a few youth to stay after youth on Wednesday night. I said, we're going to make a short little video. And I told them, I said, I need y'all to stick around. They said, what's the video? I said, I'm just going to ask you one question. And I just want you to answer the question. They said, well, what's the question? Hey, I'm going to use pulpit. And I said, I can't tell you until I ask it to you when we're videoing. Because I didn't want it scripted. So here's a glint. Here's this video, and I want y'all to just pay special attention to this. So go ahead with the video.
God has used me in many ways. I think he uses me every day, just at school, just to show people a light, he gives me opportunities and opens up things to where I can do something nice for someone, or I can sit down with someone who's sitting alone and spread the gospel to them.
And God used me specifically this past Thursday. I was in the parking lot of the church and I got an opportunity to share the gospel with someone who is very lost and she doesn't know the gospel and she doesn't know really anything about Jesus.
God has used me this month to help out a friend at school with some personal issues, and I got the time to explain to him what the gospel was and what he could turn to, and that he can lead himself to a better life with Christ.
And so I had the opportunity, and God had blessed me with the opportunity to spread the word and be a light, and that's all we can do.
I guess God uses me, he used me this week to share the gospel, or at least my beliefs, with these two girls who didn't know what really happened after death, and they didn't really want to know, they didn't really want to go anywhere, and I was able to at least talk to them and share my beliefs on how I hope that I can go to heaven and that God will be able to use me and with them to be able to just spread a little bit more light in their lives. And
I feel like God has used me this past year just to spread some seeds and, you know, just get people hooked on the gospel.
And God used me last week to help my friend as she told me she was dating another woman. And so I told her my opinion on that, and eventually she left her, which is good.
Like a church camp, I talked to these 2-3 little kids that I talked to on a consistent basis. Just the couple days I was there, and I was hopefully, you know, starting them on a path that they can follow and, you know, grow in throughout their whole lives.
And he also used me to make a YouTube channel where I now explain some Bible stuff.
hopefully change him from not wanting anything to at least wanting eternal life with him and to praise him.
Help spread love and happiness, and you know, and try to show people the right way. And I may not always bring up the gospel, but I'm hoping that they can see it through my actions.
I feel like that's how he uses me.
So here's something else interesting with this that I was going along with this question I was asking the students through this process of working through this, is what's the difference between searching and seeking? Is there a difference? For most of us, we'll probably say there's not. But actually there is, the context that you use it in. Now we talk about searching and seeking. What do we do when we search? When we search, searching is actually just looking randomly, looking in a general area for something. We don't always know why. It's like me when I lose something at my house. I lose my keys or something like that in my house. I always say, well, I'm going to go trace back my steps to go see if I can find them. It never works for me. I'm usually end up in every room of the house anyways looking for it. And then it usually is at the spot I look first. And I just didn't see it. So that's usually searching. You just randomly look. But seeking is different. When we seek and I'm doing some research and trying to get a kind of a definition of seek, here's what I got. Is searching for a specific goal or detail. So how's it different? When we search, we randomly look. When we seek, we have something already in mind, a specific goal, person, whatever, that we're looking for. That's what seeking is. And so when I was asking him with this, as we go along, and I was asking him, is, all right, in our lives, we say we're Christian, right? We're sitting here. We come and worship. We come and praise God. We serve him on most Sunday mornings. Hopefully we see more. But in that, are we really seeking God through that? Is this really it? Is it just Sunday morning? Is it come here, sing some songs, listen to a pastor, maybe fall asleep? I don't know. Hope not. But do you really seek God? And that's the point of the question. And as we look at this, I want us to go to Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 18. Now, y'all should know me by now. I'm not big on the whole slide things. I like open up a Bible. So if y'all don't mind, open your Bibles up to Philippians 2. We're going to look at verses 12 through 18, and this is what it says. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights of the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Now let's take a look at verses 12 and 13 real quick. And I'm going to repeat those here real quick. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, here's something we need to understand. This is a letter. This is a letter to the church of Philippi. And Paul, when he wrote this letter, he was, of course, thinking some things. But if you notice in the beginning of this, what he's doing here is he actually understands how obedient the Philippians were being at the time. They were being obedient to God, and he was recognizing that. But also along with that, as we go, and it pushes on, it says, not only is my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But here's something he also understood. And this is something that's very common within church today, okay? How many times have you all heard somebody say, well, I put my time into this particular ministry, I'm retiring, I'm done, I'm stepping away. All of us are probably guilty of that. But what's wrong with that? We're looking at the past and being satisfied with the past rather than looking to the future and what God can do for us now, today, moving forward. Now, I'm not saying I thank everybody for all the stuff they, all the work they have put in the past in this church and what it is in their family, but it is also the past. We still got to keep moving forward. That doesn't stop. You know, I look at it this way. What if Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, came into this world, died on a cross for us, then was resurrected, and then said, all right, I did my part. I'm done. What would this world be like then? But what do we actually see? We actually see God at work every day in our lives. He's always constantly moving. He's always constantly working. He's constantly using people throughout this world to bring glory to him, to show people him, and to be a light in the darkness. Now, here's something we also got to understand with this. It is for his will. His purpose. And the works we need to be doing is to glorify him. Not ourselves, not a church, but him. So we must think about that. And, you know, and for myself, you know, I'm 38 years old. I may get to retire one day. I don't know. Chances are greater, I think, of not than it is yay right now. Who knows? I don't know. Hopefully I can work for a long time. But the thing is with that is what we talk about when we retire, what do we normally do? For a lot of us, when we retire, when we say we're going, I'm done, it's a lot of times we get comfortable. We relax, which sounds great, right? But the problem is when we do it with our faith, that's not such a good thing. When we get comfortable as a church, we get comfortable, that means we do nothing. We really relax. And how do we know this? All right, just give y'all a quick fact. We went to the association meeting, okay? And in our association, we have 104 churches, I believe that's correct, 104 churches. And in this meeting, they shared some information with it. Right now, just in our association here, and I'd be willing to say this is definitely be across this whole country, 70% of the 104 churches that are in our association right now, and I just got this information a couple weeks ago, are either declining or plateaued. 70%. Are declining or plateaued. That's scary. Now, there's several different factors in that. Okay, just bear with me. There are several different factors in this that could cause this. One, the one I like to share with people, church is now an option. It's not mandatory. How many of y'all grew up when mom and dad said, no, that's Sunday, you ain't doing nothing but going to church with us, you don't have a choice, that's what you're doing. Anybody remember that? Guess what? Guess how many parents do that now? Not too many hands being raised. There's a few. But it's few and far in between. And if you do that, thank you. But here's the thing. One, church is an option. When you go open those front doors of the church or the back door, whichever you call the front and back now, how many people are standing out there to wait to come in to worship our Lord and Savior? None. Not a single one. But yet, we act like this is surprising. It's not. It's very clear. The Bible tells us very clearly what it's going to get harder. It's not going to get easier. But the thing is also, it's very clear in what it tells us is in this, and this is what Paul is saying, admiring, and he's being appreciative for the Philippians, because guess what? They're being obedient. So guess what they're doing? They're going out. They're going out here and sharing the gospel. They're going out and being a light to the world and sharing the good news with people, being obedient to Christ. Now, if we're not being obedient to Christ, guess what? We're being disobedient, correct? So things usually don't work out too well when we're being disobedient. So we also got to remember we're doing this just not for just here. We're also doing it for the glory of God, for his kingdom. To further advancement of his kingdom, to bring more people in, to be a light. And here's the other part with this, is as we go through this little process, and we go through this, we got to understand, it is not our will, it's his will that we serve, and his purpose. I mean, it says both to will and to work for his good pleasure, not our own. So too often times when we get so many people, yes, thank you for all your hard work, because many of y'all have grown up in church your whole life, and you have been involved in your whole life. Does it get tired? Yes. I'm a youth pastor. Come work a lock-in with me. You will see tired.
But they're amazing to watch students and see what they do. Just this little one little simple question. Look what God's house is using our students. That's just a few of them. I get every day students that are sharing stories with me on how they're reaching friends and how they're sharing the opportunities, they're sharing the gospel in schools today. Because we're taking the time to have them ask a question, is how's God using you? Not only, it's time to quit searching for things, it's time to start seeking God. And seeking Him and His will. Think about our everyday lives. Every day, how many of y'all actually, just like I said earlier, how many of y'all actually go and think about, you know, I'm going to glorify God in everything I do today. Well, it's good to say, right, but how much do we do it? How many of us have real busy lives? We got all these extracurricular activities, sports, band, you name it. All of us are busy. But through that busyness, how much time do you give to Christ? In verses 14 through 18, it says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights of the world. Lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. So that in the day of Christ I may be proud of that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. I mean, how many of y'all are parents? How many of y'all are grandparents? How many of y'all have nieces and nephews? I think I covered just about everybody, right? If you need to know how God's wanting to use you, look at them. If you're not sure how God is going to use you, He's put you there to be an example of Him for them. How many of y'all, and at the same time with that, let me ask y'all this. How many of y'all have actually tried to tell your kid? You know, y'all understand, I'm going to tell them mine here in just a minute. But, oh, got her. But anyway, how many of y'all actually can say that your kids are completely obedient to you or whoever it is, and they don't grumble and argue and bicker at you whenever you tell them to do something? Okay. Now, let's go to spouses. Okay? Wait a minute. I'm not going to go there. But anyway, so but here's the thing, we call ourselves believers. We have all these people around us. We got kids. Guess what, parents? Guess what you're supposed to be doing? It's supposed to be an example, right, of Christ to your kids. Oh, by the way, I failed to tell you, I might be stepping on a few toes today. So just letting you know. But here's the thing, the problem is we got to change the mindset. Today in this world, today in this culture, today in this generation even that we have, it's the problem we're getting so comfortable in the way things are and what we're doing that we're failing to put God first and a priority in anything that we do. And the problem that we don't realize, and here's the issue, we don't realize this, but we are the only plan God has to bring people to Him, to get the gospel out into a very dark place. We are the plan. There's no plan B. So what kind of impact does that mean that you're going to have on your kid? Or on a grandchild? Or on a niece? Or a nephew? Or even if you have adopted children? It doesn't matter. On your friends? What kind of impact is that saying that you're going to have? Guess what? You're the only plan. God wasn't messing around when He says this. But here's the other cool part. We call ourselves believers. How strong really is your faith? I love this. At the end, on this, I love this. It says, holding fast to the word of life. In your life, do you hold on to the gospel? Do you hold on to Jesus Christ and being obedient to Him and listening to what He says and trying to follow His commandments in your life and holding on to it even when times get hard, through the good and the bad? How often do we look at that? How often can we say that we look at Christ, God, help me through this. God, thank you for the awesomeness that is going on right now. Lord, show me the way. But you ask how, what's this mean, how God uses me today? It's plain and simple. When you seek God, you'll find him. And if you truly put your faith in him and are obedient, he will use you. Scripture's very clear on that. And then at the same time with your own faith. I mean, that's what I love about Paul. He even sits there and says, he says right here, very clearly, he says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, he is willing to die for his faith and in Jesus Christ. He's putting his life on the line. He said, I'm cool with this. I'll be willing to give my life for him. I'll be willing to give my life for other believers just for the fact of securing faith and moving forward with the kingdom. And then at the same time, he says, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Can we put our faith in that same category? Is it that strong? Are we Paul? Are we Apostle Paul's walking around in a community and in a world that is needing a light? But how do we get there? You got to seek him. It's no longer just searching. It's the truly, genuinely, open your Bible up and seek. One thing I tell my students all the time is read between the lines. When you read scripture, read in between the lines. Not only just read what it says, but guess what? You should be looking at, all right, how does this apply? How can I use this in my life? How does this affect me personally? Too many times we find ourselves, I mean, I do it myself. We can sit here and read the Bible. We put ourselves on these big year-long read the whole Bible in a year plans, which is great. Have y'all ever actually tried to read the Bible in a year? It's tough, and much less to understand it. You've got to take time and study and worship him through that and ask him to show himself and his glory to you through the scriptures. It's not something you just read and say, okay, I'm done, and move on. We shouldn't be treating God that way. That's what we do. Let's go to church. And then the rest of the week, we go back to our normal everyday life. Nothing changes. God is going to use all who are obedient to him. Every single day that the Lord opens doors to allow those that are obedient to serve him. We may not always see it right directly in front of us, but he will use you. Romans 2, 6 and 7 says this. It says, he will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. We have life through the Lord. This world does not offer anything that can help us with salvation besides for Jesus Christ himself. But back to Philippians, verse 16. Holding fast to life, this means being obedient to God. God's word, seeking God throughout your life, and shortly after that, to be proud that you served the Lord as his whole being. I mean, Paul was proud. He wasn't proud for himself. He was proud of the fact that he put his faith in the Lord and he's serving the Lord. He put everything he had into the Lord. And he held to that. I mean, just look. Christ used a man that persecuted Christians. He used a man that wanted to see them dead. He used a man that did nothing. He just wanted to make it miserable for Christians, for believers in this world. And what did he do? He turns around, goes on Damascus Road, hears a voice, goes blind, brings back to sight, and guess what? Boom, all of a sudden he sees who the glory of Christ, and what does he do? Now all of a sudden he's become probably one of the most prolific missionaries that's ever walked the face of this earth. And through that whole time, all he's doing is wanting to share this great news of Jesus Christ with everybody he comes in contact with. Why can't we do the same? Why can't we be an Apostle Paul today? Why can't we be a disciple that goes out loving on people, serving people, and using this community and this world as a mission field rather than a lot of griping and whining. Everything's going bad. Everything's going to hell because everything's just going. We knew this. It's not anything new. Problem is, we got comfortable. We quit seeking God in everything that we do. So right here, just a second. Parents, grandparents, once again, I'm going to step on some toes just a little bit more. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 says this. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Very clearly it states, it starts at home. Ministry, discipleship starts at home. It's not here. This is a resource. Church is a resource. We're resources. Use us. Yes, we like that. That's what we want to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But true ministry starts at home. Parents, if you expect your kids to be reading the Bible and you're not doing it at home yourself and you're not being that example, guess what? They're not going to do it. Parents, you want your kids in church? Go to church. I don't know how else to put it. James makes it clear. Our faith, we also got to have the actions, and your actions got to follow. Ministry starts at church. It starts in the home in the first place. We didn't have big buildings on every other corner where people came together for corporate worship. That worship came at home, between families, and coming together in a home and praising our Lord and Savior and doing work. They went out to other homes. Guess what? Discipling, bringing people in, and then sending them out. That's how it works. So if we want to start seeking God, guess what we got to do? We got to change the mindset. We got to change the mindset in the home. Including myself. If I want to see my daughter read the Bible, I need to be showing her. If I need to see my daughter, want her to have a strong prayer life, guess what? She better be seeing me praying to my Lord and Savior. It starts at home. If you want to teach your kids to seek God, show them how to do it by seeking yourself. Sad part is we talk about this culture. We say it's a bad culture. That's actually not true. There's culture wherever people are. There's culture at the Rock. There's culture right here. There's culture up in the balcony, in Sunday school classes, in homes. It's not the culture, it's the choices that we make. If we're going to make a change and we're going to change our mindset to seek God rather than just search around or not do nothing, we got to start making choices to legitimately go after Him. He's already there. He's wanting us to come ask. If we want to change this generation, if we want to no longer make a church an option, well, guess what we need to be doing at home? We need to be showing Christ at home. We need to be praying with our children. We need to be reading the Bible with them. And this is one of the cool parts that we're getting ready to start doing in the youth with this, from this little video and with this question, is we developed a small everyday Bible reading just to get reading. Two chapters a night, that is it, just to get a little spark going. But in November, we're starting small groups, and we're actually going to have some of our student leaders that's going to be helping leading some of these little small groups with our students, and they're going to be discussing these Bible readings. on Sunday nights. And one of the things I ask them to do is with this is to keep a journal. By far, one of the worst things I do is journaling. I'll tell anybody this. I'm terrible at it. I'm trying to do better. But I've asked them, if you don't understand something, write it down. If you have a question about something, write it down. If you want to make a comment about something, write it down. And bring those Sunday, and we'll sit and discuss them. There's nothing bad. The thing is, we got to start be willing to answer questions in our kids' lives to teach them how to seek God and who He is before we can ever change a mindset. To keep our kids in church, to get them coming to church and serving in a community. And the thing is, and we also got to understand another self with this, what missions and service and the service project is. If you're going out, we need service. We got to work. We got to help. I love mowing yards. I love working with my hands, fixing things. I enjoy doing that. I love doing it for other people. But let's call it for what it is. It's a service work. It is needed. But if you want to say you want to go on missions, mission is actually using your mouth and sharing the gospel with somebody, talking to somebody about it. We need to start with our own kids, day one in the home. If you want to start seeking God, you want to truly see God, you got to be looking for Him. He's already there. He's just waiting for you to open your heart to Him so He can use you. Last but not least, Proverbs 8:17 says this. 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. All we got to do is seek. I know this can be challenging for a lot of us, but we need it. All of us do, myself included. We want to change the world. We want to get God back into the, Christ back into a community. 80% of just Paris is lost. That's crazy. That's staggering to me. 80%. That is absolutely staggering. But if you think about it, think of the churches that we have and how many people actually go to church. We have a whole community behind us. Just right here, walking distance we can walk to, and less than 1% go to church. Or spend much less, probably open the Bible. We can do better. But we got to seek God in that process. Let us pray.